A very good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours, 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, February 14th, 2016. You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening. Live from Washington, I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, the MDCT, in collaboration with 15 other opposition political parties under the National Reform Agenda, NERA document, say they are working on a simplified version of the electoral reforms that they are calling for before the 2018 presidential elections.
I can confirm that as the MDC, we are working in collaboration with 15 other opposition political parties who have appended their signatures to the National Electoral Reform Agenda, the NERA document. And the main thrust of this trajectory is to come up with a simplified version of the electoral reform that we as opposition political parties in Zimbabwe are calling for.
Political analysts say the factionalism fights within ZANU-PF has elevated First Lady Grace Mugabe to the position of kingpin as the battle of succession continues in the party.
Indeed, the First Lady, Mrs. Grace Mugabe, is the kingpin as long as we are talking of ZANU-PF led by Mr. Mugabe.
The world commemorates Valentine's Day today, the day of love, with most Zimbabweans saying they have nothing to celebrate as the drought and financial crisis continue to affect the country.
My name is Pastor Dr. Lucia Gunguo, and I wish happy Valentine's to my lovely husband, Apostle Cyril Katenda Gunguo of Eternal Word Ministry. Happy Valentine, my love.
And as usual, we give you the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo. The MDCT, in collaboration with 15 other opposition political parties under the National Reform Agenda, NERA document, say they are working on a simplified version of the electoral reforms that they are calling for before the 2018 presidential elections. MDCT spokesman Obed Gutu speaks with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri on some of the programs that they have currently initiated and will be pursuing.
I can confirm that as the MDC, we are working in collaboration with 15 other opposition political parties who have appended their signatures to the National Electoral Reform Agenda, the NERA document. And the main thrust of this trajectory is to come up with a simplified version of the electoral reform that we as opposition political parties in Zimbabwe are calling for before the holding of elections in 2018. The main issue really that we are dealing with now is the issue of the voter's roll. I believe most Zimbabweans have now been made aware of the fact that there is going to be a biometric voters registration exercise, but you would find that very few people are really aware of what exactly biometric means, because there are various types of biometric voter registration mechanisms. So we are out there simplifying, going to the wards, going to the villages, explaining to the people what exactly biometric is, and also encouraging them to register to vote once ZEC starts the process of voter registration. We are also advising and explaining to people their rights, particularly the rights of those people who are physically handicapped voters, illiterate voters, blind voters, just explaining to them what the law says are their rights, but most people don't even know what their rights are.
Which languages are you using to simplify these demands?
Unfortunately, because of resource constraints from the government, the Constitution of Zimbabwe has not yet been translated into the 16 official languages. So what we are doing as the MDCT is just to use our own cadres who are able to speak and communicate in the various languages: Zambia, Tonga, Ndebele, Xhosa, Shona, etc., etc. They are going to those areas where they'll be able to explain to the people. Literally, we are taking it upon ourselves to translate the Constitution and the Electoral Act for the benefit of our supporters and the Zimbabweans in general, which is a tall order because this needs resources, but we have no choice because ZEC is always saying they don't have money. And we notice that with about 32 months or so to go before the next election. Time is of the essence. We cannot afford the luxury of waiting.
Is this not supposed to be ZEC's mandate or the government's mandate rather than being of a political party?
Definitely. This is actually the constitutional mandate of the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, ZEC. But as I have already alluded to, ZEC is financially and resource incapacitated. They are given a very small budgetary allocation from the Ministry of Justice and Legal Affairs. And we have said, in terms of the Constitution, ZEC, together with all other constitutional commissions, must be independent of anyone, including the executive arm of the state. So the ideal situation is for Treasury to allocate during the budgetary process money for onward transmission to all the constitutional commissions, including ZEC. Unfortunately, this has not been done because you find that ZEC is in practice treated as if it is a department under the Ministry of Justice. They actually get their allocation of money from the Ministry of Justice vote, which is very, very unfair. And not only is it unfair, it is also unconstitutional.
That was MDCT spokesman Obet Gutu speaking to Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri. Political analysts say the factionalism fights within ZANU-PF have elevated First Lady Grace Mugabe to the position of kingpin as the battle of succession continues in the party. Political analyst Clifford Mashiri tells us more on the issue.
Indeed, the First Lady, Mrs. Grace Mugabe, is the kingpin, as long as we are talking of ZANU-PF led by Mr. Mugabe. She's the kingpin because she has said it anyway, that Mr. Mugabe allowed her to go out and address these rallies. Some people ill wish her, but she has even said, my name is Mafira Kureva, I am the one who speaks out, or more or less like a whistleblower. And being Mugabe's whistleblower, it means, yes, she is the one who ensures someone rises to a position of leadership in ZANU-PF. And if they don't please her, they will actually be history. She has actually said that some people think that they can do what they are doing indefinitely. And it's very important to note that First Lady, Mrs. Grace Mugabe, is very powerful. There is no question about it. This is why she's being given state resources to go and dish out in the name of the party, in order to build a name and that of the Mugabe family, giving out tractors which were given by a foreign government for purchase, for which the government is going to pay. But the ZANU-PF party has given all those assets to say, go and dish out as you like.
And we've also heard the First Lady herself admitting that people are bending backwards and falling right in front of her to have an audience with her. What does this signal for all the factions within ZANU-PF?
It shows that the factionalism never died by removing Mai Mujuru. It actually has become more vicious. The factionalism has become vicious in the sense that they are very, very divided. And she was even criticizing the media, suggesting that she does not trust the media and that it might be in the wrong faction or in the other camp, and that other camp they were referring to as other, obviously it is Mnangagwa. So, yes, some people are falling before here in order to curry favor, and it's quite clear about which people they are. Those who were present at the rally would naturally be the ones who are trying to curry favor with coming up with all these projects, STEM and so on.
That was political analyst Clifford Mashiri in the United Kingdom. The world commemorates Valentine's Day today, the day of love, with most Zimbabweans saying they have nothing to celebrate as the drought and financial crisis continue to affect the country. But many say they will still use this time to tell their loved ones how much they care despite not having much. We hear from some of our listeners on their views on Valentine's Day.
DJ Nana.
My name is Pastor Dr. Lucia Gunguo, and I wish happy Valentine to my lovely husband, Apostle Cyril Katenda Gunguo of Eternal Word Ministry. Happy Valentine, my love, and happy Valentine to our four beautiful children.
Hello, Brenda Ngwenya. Happy Valentine Day. I'm Pasmo Chioni. Etitinde Manzasia. Happy Valentine Day, Brenda Ngwenya. Put your hands up, put your hands up. That's it. Badam Soro, Badam Sana.
I live in Noto on a Tri 1045 Katanga. I'd like to send my message to my sister in London, Babirai Jakarta. I think that is my message. I'd like to say keep well and remember free in Zimbabwe. Happy Valentine, my sister, Babi.
Those were some of our listeners sharing their views on Valentine's Day. Some residents of Gutu in Mashingo say the drought is affecting families in the area, with some of them going for days without eating three meals. A rural student teacher in the area tells us more.
I'm Chumia Nkomazana in Gutu. The situation in Gutu is very hectic, especially in areas in Gutu East. There is drought. I can say there is hunger, which is doubled. Because right now people have no food and they are just waiting for those donors who come and give them money, but that money is not enough for them to survive. Just last week the rain rained, but the rain fell, but the situation is very hectic because even crops, they don't show, there is no hope in the crop grown because they all wilted. Right now, the women are trying to go and fish like the men do, but there is a dam which is called Rooty Dam. But now, for now, there is not any fish that they are taking. So the situation, what I say, the situation is very hectic. I don't know if the government is gonna help because now the whole nation is facing a drought. So how are they going to help all of them when they were not able to help when we had no hunger, but there were a few people that were facing hunger? But now the whole nation is facing the same problem. My question is, are they going to help all the nation?
What is your line of work? You seem to be talking about the people that live in your area. Are you not one of them yourself?
I'm a student teacher. So I interact with the community and I socialize with the people in the community. And I move around as I do my research because our college requires we do some research like fundamental and action. So I'm doing the fundamental research which allows me to go for about 20 kilometers doing my research. So when I'm just asking about the economic challenges, what they tell me and what I see is the real thing that they are facing a lot of hardship. And even transport, there is no transport. There are no roads. Going out from the college, going back to the school that I am, we waited for a river for about 4 hours because there is not any bridge. So how is transport network going to be when there are such a hardship of transport? But only smoke, the fish, the farm camels, they can move less, but the truck cannot move. So how are they going to transport the meals?
That was Junior Mukomazana, a student teacher in Gutu in Mashingo. Direct from Washington, the voice of America, VOA. Coming up, the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo. A
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues today. I'm gladly joined by Fidelis Chima, who's the coordinator with the Wangai Residents Association. Fidelis, thank you so very much for joining me this evening.
Thank you, Katenda.
As we understand, there are a lot of issues that residents are facing in the Wangai area. What are some of the most pertinent issues that you, as a residents association, are seeing?
Well, the issues that are very pertinent in the community of Wangai are the issues of unfair labor practices. The workers of Wangai Colliery Company have been for more than 36 months without any salary. We have got others around mining companies like South Mining, which are failing to pay some reasonable wages to their workers. These workers work in very toxic conditions and get not more than $200 a month. So as a resident association, it's a cause of concern.
And how is this affecting people, you know, when it comes to obviously the issue of money? How are families being affected by this ongoing struggle with these companies?
Well, some have resorted to poaching, some have resorted to charcoal, some have resorted to prostitution, some have resorted to stealing, and obviously, Wangai is a mining town which used to be peaceful. This time around, it's now the opposite of what it used to be.
And as a residents association, are you able to speak on behalf of residents and also engage the management of these companies? And are they forthcoming?
Well, as a starting point, we are consulting the community of Wangai. We have discovered that there is a discord among the workers. The workers are alleging that the workers' community of Wangai Colliery resides with the management. And as a resident association, we want to carry out some activities to enlighten workers of their constitutional rights. Remember, labor issues are now guaranteed in the new constitution of Zimbabwe.
Now, speaking on the different demographics that you are seeing there, you know, how are women in particular and youth affected when it comes to these issues that you are stating that they're facing day to day?
Obviously, when salaries are not there, what it means is that women, to some extent, have to be the breadwinners. They have to make sure that they do vending, they have to do prostitution and other vices, and that is causing serious moral decadence in the community of Wangai. And for the youth, what it means is that they have to resort to alcohol because they don't have jobs. They have to resort to poaching. They have to steal to make sure that they send their families.
And looking forward, Fidelis, how can the association help those, if anything, and when it comes to these issues that they're facing? Are there going to be any sort of, you spoke about it earlier, but ways to engage the community?
As an organization, like I said before, we would send them on issues of their rights in respect to the new constitution. But at the same time, would want to teach them how to manage self-help projects.
And with that, I want to thank you so very much for joining me today on the Youth Forum.
You're welcome, Katrina.
That was Fidelis Chima, coordinator of the Wangai Residents Association, joining me today on the Youth Forum. This is Tatenda Gumbo wishing you a happy Valentine's Day, and make sure you join me next week.
That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, February 14th, 2016. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and a happy Valentine's Day, and a great week ahead.